not scared of you. So on your way out, watch your rear. 1, 2, 3, 4. By the time I count to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Takes place between 1 p.m. and 3 p.m.
And we are live here at KSFS Studios in San Francisco, at San Francisco State University. This is Sports Outside the Mainstream without Owen Brown. I can call him Owen Brown since he's not here, right?
You can call him what you want.
There you go. No, just nothing to his face because we're like, he's like an inch taller than me. But yeah, we are here for our sports program of sorts. Antonio Kruger over there. Say hello to the ladies, Antonio.
I say hello to everyone.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I apologize.
He doesn't discriminate.
He doesn't discriminate. On the other hand, Brian does discriminate, so say hello, Brian.
I discriminate. I hate most people.
He hates most people, and I'm in that same book with him. But this is Sports Outside the Mainstream. Owen is off today looking for possibly a place to live in Santa Barbara, which must be tough for most people, you know, listening to our program, wondering where Owen is. But
you've just told all his stalkers where to find him.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, in the end of the show, we'll give out his, you know, home phone number so they can talk to him. But as it happens, our number here is 415-338-1532. And what would our email address be, Brian?
The email is ksfssports@gmail.com.
And we are podcasting. If you want to find us on open your iTunes and search for KSFS, we'll be on that list. And also to visit our website, it's sotm.podomatic.com to review our shows. And Brian informs me that we will have this show up for everybody who wants to listen to our intense draft coverage and knowledge later on. We'll have all that set up for you. But I think we should start first with, of course, our local teams. And, of course, what's on everybody's mind is the local basketball scene. I guess we can hit first on, I guess let's go straight to the Warriors, right? I mean, nobody has a problem with that. They're up, well, actually, they're tied now, 1-1. They have a game tonight against the Mavericks at 7:30. What did you guys think of game number one, since it's the first time we had to talk together?
I had a blast watching. I mean, the Warriors are so entertaining. They're playing very well right now. I know they lost game two on Wednesday night, and there's been all kinds of, you know, Warrior fans angry at officials and angry at Charles Barkley for his comments at halftime. I think some Warrior fans have forgotten what it's like to be in the playoffs. You don't win every game. Even the best teams don't win every game. And you knew a team like Dallas, after losing that first game, a defending conference champion, was going to come back and play more aggressive, play better, get to the free throw line, do whatever they had to do to not go down 0-2. But Sunday night, and I'm not a, you know, a Warrior fan, I root for them as a Bay Area team, it was awesome watching them play and just pull away at the end from the Mavs.
Yeah, I've never been so pumped for a Warriors game in my life. I couldn't believe it. We were high-fiving strangers. It reminded me, do you remember the scene in Major League?
Yes.
When they're at the bar and there's like the punk rock guy,
yeah,
and like the hillbilly dude.
They're all,
and they just
put aside their differences for the common good.
They embrace, you know,
yeah.
That's such a great scene. That's what I felt like watching the Warriors game.
Yeah, there's a lot of energy in the Bay Area right now, completely surrounded by them. And I know within my own life, either it's coworkers or friends or people who either are going to the game or know someone who's going to the game or know someone trying to go to the game or used to be season ticket holders but gave them up because it was just a drain on the pocketbook for a decade. And now here we are, the Warriors, as we talked about on this show, if they could make the playoffs as the 8 seed, play the Mavericks, who they match up so well with all the little side stories of Nelly versus Cuban and Nelly versus his student Avery Johnson, and the fact that a lot of the Warrior players, particularly Davis, Petrus, and Jay Rich, have a history of playing well against Dallas from the last 2 or 3 years, what that would mean for them to go up against the Mavs. And it's all coming to fruition. Here they are, 1-1, coming home to Oracle is going to be off the foundation tonight. I mean, it is going to be live. And Jay Rich hasn't played great yet. And Petrus hasn't played great yet.
Oh, you're telling my fantasy team he has not played great yet. That was my dark horse. And Michael Petrus, the French Michael Jordan, has yet to show. He's more like playing like a French soccer player out there. And he's not getting it done. But, yeah, they are expecting. They usually get about 5 to 6 media people there a night. They're expecting 60 to 70 additional media there. And as we said, you know, throughout the entire year, you know you're a big game when you're on the big screen, you're on the big station, you've got primetime games, and the media cares. That's when you know this is a big game, and this is going to be a huge game.
This is the swing game. I mean, those odd-numbered games, you know, game number one, everyone wants to start off with a win. Game number three, if it's a 1-1 series, you want to be the first team to two. You want to be the first team to get that third win. The Warriors win tonight. It does put a certain amount of pressure, similar pressure to game two, on the Mavs Sunday to not go down 3-1 and have to win three straight against a team that they would have lost 6 out of 7 to this year. On the flip side, if you're the Warriors, if you lose tonight, you not only lose the home court that you earned, now you have to win on Sunday or face elimination in Dallas. At the end of the day, I think that there probably will be a split this weekend, but I do believe if the Warriors win tonight, that puts them right back in Dallas's head the same way they were after game one with a home crowd on their side this time.
Mm-hmm. And you know everyone's – when they're all happy about coming out with a split. I mean, you ask them before the series started. If you came out with a split in Dallas and came home 1-1, I think everyone would take that.
In a heartbeat.
As disappointing as game two was, I think you got to put it in perspective. The Warriors are in a great spot right now, and you got to hope that Steven Jackson, Baron Davis, these guys use that to their advantage, use – what happened in game two, that frustration, and channel it the right way, and they just come out at home on fire and just jump out on top of them, you know.
Well, to kick some of that knowledge that we all see on what the experts say on television.
That's right.
You know, Kenny Smith on TNT is a fan of saying your role players play better at home. Your stars win you the big games on the road, but when you're at home, your bench players, your role players, average players use that crowd energy to make shots they don't always make in road games. So then tonight you would expect for the Warriors – Petrus to find his shot. You would expect, even though he had a good game one, Barnes to find his shot. You would expect the crowd and things to carry them, especially because they like to run, they like to make threes, they like to, you know, throw some alley-oops to Jay Rich and get things going. If they can jump out in front, have that place rocking, get inside of Dallas's head a little bit, that's going to help them tremendously. And to address sort of the Charles Barkley, I've been listening to Warrior fans all week on the other radio stations and chat rooms. People are so ticked at him at halftime saying that the Warriors are going to lose 4 straight. And I think it's kind of funny because I see where Barkley's coming from. I think part of it is that he doesn't understand the Warrior team because no one's really followed them all year. Why would you, right?
Why would anybody?
But they genuinely do match up well with Dallas, and I honestly believe they're going to win at least one of these two games this weekend, which would at least assure of a 6th game back here next week.
But the one thing you always say is when you're entering a playoff series, if you're on the road first, you just want to get one win, come back, and have the chance to go up 3-1 or even 3-0 or something like that. What I heard Barkley say, though, at the post game, I wasn't listening to halftime, or unfortunately I missed that part. What he said at the end of the game was, if you're Dallas with the number one record and overall the best team in basketball perhaps, why do you change your lineup? Why don't you impose your will on the Golden State Warriors? Why do you change your lineup? They took out Jopp and Dampier. They didn't want them in the lineup. They were going to rotate either of them. They took them out, started Dirk at center, and they played into Golden State's hands. They adjusted to them. I have no idea why they did that. That's one of those things where I think Don Nelson may have been in Avery's head a little bit, and plus those the 3 games they lost as well.
There's no doubt about that. You know, with the Warriors, again, playoff series, every game is about adjustments, and the team that's coming off a loss tends to.
But was that preemptive, or what do you think that was?
Oh, I think Avery was trying to make his own great coaching move, and had he won the game, people would have said, wow, your big lineup didn't beat them all year, your small lineup did. They didn't win the game, but ironically, he did that to keep up with the Warriors, but the pace of the game was actually Dallas's pace. Neither team scored 100 points. The Mavs didn't even break 90. So it didn't work for what he wanted, which was to actually up the ante and keep the pace going fast. That worked out better, ironically, in game two with him having a bigger lineup. But he also, in making that move, I don't think he should have done it, but he's acknowledging something that no one really talked about before the series began, which is Dallas doesn't have a post player, a big guy that you can go to dominate a small team like the Warriors.
And Warriors fans know they have Damp, and he is not that guy.
No, he's not. And if they don't have a Yao Ming, they don't have a Tim Duncan, they don't have a Chris Bosh. So their big guys are there to block shots and rebound the ball and set screens and that sort of thing. Avery, I think he did outthink himself. Tonight we're going to find out what this is really about. If you want to say Dallas's loss in Game 1 was a fluke, I don't believe it. Some people say that, fine. If you think Game 2 is the way this is really going to go, I don't believe that, but fine. Tonight you're going to find out for real because each side knows what the other is doing, and there will be the arena will be no louder than it will be tonight unless the Warriors have a chance to clinch in Game 6. So we're going to find out exactly what both squads are made of.
And I think the point about players 3 through 12 on your roster are the ones that I think those are the ones going to make the difference. You're not going to see Baron Davis go off like he did in Game 1. You know, he's back down to earth. Nowitzki, he just hasn't been there all series, so I don't see him. I think you've seen what you're going to see from him. He's great, but he's not going to pull this series out alone. So you're going to see a lot of Harris and Monte Ellis, and you know these guys are going to be the difference. And it's who gets hot. It's close. I mean, for a 1-8 seed matchup, it's just so close. And heck, I can't even say what I think might happen because it could go any.
And you're the man who predicted they would make the playoffs.
This is
Mr.
Prognostication right here.
I didn't predict
right
they would win in the playoffs. I predicted they would get
to the playoffs. So you are right.
That put you ahead of all of us.
Curve. You were definitely ahead of the curve on that one.
And going back to Charles Barkley, I don't think they have him on any kind of a TV show because he's good at prognosticating. I think it's just that he talks.
He says what maybe people think and then don't say.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that says it.
He's seldom right,
in fact,
when you look back.
Yeah, you were talking about Baron Davis. He had, I think, 33 points. Just
correct.
Off the top of my head, 14 rebounds and 6 assists, maybe 11 out of 20. I could
and
be wrong on that.
And 3 steals with...
Yeah, and I think he had the post-game meal was the chicken. But no, the only time, and this is insider knowledge, I saw Dirk making any shots was last night when he was just shooting in the gym by himself. This was the only time Dirk was making shots. I've seen him all day. So
you've been hanging out with Steve Jackson, haven't you?
Well, I cannot reveal my sources, but yeah, that was the only time I've seen Dirk make any shots this entire series.
I thought you were going to talk about the shots he was taking at the KSFS party last night.
Oh, that was ridiculous. By the way,
were you there?
A 7-foot German just got out of control there. That was uncalled for.
Bull in a china shop.
Huh? Oh God. Well, we'll talk about the bulls in a second. Yeah. But yeah, that was God.
Soon to be uploaded to drunkathletes.com.
Oh, yes, especially that. We'll probably see some on Deadspin and maybe some badjocks.com as we promote other websites we have no affiliation with.
Let me, one little addition with the Warriors. They're known for getting a lot of steals. They were top 5 in the league in steals this year. When teams get a lot of steals, they typically play defense with their hands. That's not the best way to play defense. You should play defense in basketball with your feet. So when you reach a lot, you're going to get your share, but if you're a little bit off, and especially against superstars or more established players or in someone else's home court, a lot of those either-way calls go against you. That certainly happened in Game 2. That may be more to their advantage tonight being at home, but they've got to stop reaching all the time. Mikal Petras, I believe he fouled out of Game 2. He had four fouls,
and it's one of those guys where you have enough wing players and people of his size that you can just let him go out there and play and not worry about it. And he did not restrain himself. He got quick fouls, all it seemed on reach-ins, as you said.
And he got ticked at the official. He reached in on a Jason Terry jump shot. On the replay, you saw he clearly hit him on the elbow. And he's looking at the ref like, what did I do? Well, you didn't play defense. Either let him shoot or get out in front. Don't reach in on the arm. So they just got to be a little bit smarter.
I think Petras would do well with a little pregame yoga or something.
I think he would.
He's so ramped up in the game. He just cannot calm himself down. And when he's playing under control, I mean, he's a great player.
He needs an alley-oop, get a nice jam in somebody's face, get all that energy out, and then he can mellow.
I think he's got to learn our system here. It's, you know, 6 fouls and you're gone. Maybe we should get yellow cards or red cards since he's, you know, the French player in the soccer. He needs to get more acquainted with our foul system here. Mm-hmm. But picks tonight, what do you guys got? I know, Brian, you have some hesitation. I wanted to say hesitation. We'll edit this in post, but yeah. What do you have a pick today for tonight's win?
Warriors.
Warriors win?
Yeah.
Do you have like a score? You're going to throw out a Chris Berman type 109-108.
No, but Howard and Nowitzki both ejected.
Both ejected. Wow. Just like at the party last night, right?
We're going to get a couple makeup calls. It's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, if that happens, you and I are playing lottery.
That's right. You're coming to Vegas next week.
Wow. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Warriors tonight in a 3 or 4 point game. I mean, I do expect tonight's game to be highly competitive. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Warriors come out, jump up by double digits, and then have the Mavs come back and have a nice ebb and flow second half. But I'm going to go with Golden State tonight to get back on the positive side, because as well as the Mavericks did play in game two, the Warriors on their – partly because of Dallas and partly because of themselves, they didn't play well. So I actually expect them just to play better on that principle and with the crowd behind them for it to give them even more.
Yeah, and I'll abstain from picking just because I'll be that guy. Any problem?
No. Throw it out.
No, okay. I got Pistons, you know. No, I'll say Warriors. What the hell? I mean, no analysis, no breakdown. I think they get behind the crowd tonight, and they really motor in the first quarter and the second quarter. They really get up big, and hopefully they can pull this one out in the end.
One thing I will say, I think you're going to know how this game's going to go real early.
Yeah.
Especially Barron. He's such he's just up and down, you know, and you can see game in and game out, and you can see when he's on, you can see when he's off, and I think you'll tell, they'll have an edge to him, and you'll see that in the first quarter. You'll know if they're going to pull this one out.
And I'll agree with you for a different reason. Nowitzki. He's come out both games one and two and missing shots early. If he does it now, where the crowd's going to be going crazy, you know, every time he misses a shot, Warriors get a fast break going, I think that helps Golden State jump out, and it, again, keeps Steven Jackson in his head, where if Dirk comes out and starts hitting 4 out of 5 and showing that he's an MVP, that's the way Dallas has to win a road playoff game. It has to be Dirk going for 30.
Yeah. Okay, we'll wrap up that. We'll get to Spurs later after the break, but let's just hit on every series real quick. We got Magic and the Pistons, 1-8 seed. This is not going the same way the Golden State-Dallas series is going.
No, there's no Magic in this one.
There is definitely no Magic in Orlando right now in the Magic Kingdom. But Pistons up 3-0. Any thoughts on this, or is this as expected?
As expected.
I mean, there's really not much to say. I think Magic can be good in 2 years. I saw a lot of Dwight Howard lazy passes and defense really dominating, so... No real shocker here, I guess.
I tell you what, though. Pistons sweep, they may end up with too much time off because Chicago-Miami still has the potential to go at least 6, certainly 7. Detroit, they need the rest because they're old, but they may end up having so much rest that they lose their rhythm.
Yeah, too much rest can be good.
Yeah. We'll move on to the next series. We have the number 7, number 2 seed Washington at Cleveland. We have LeBron versus basically Antoine Jameson, it seems. And we all know who's going to win that matchup.
How might that turn out?
Yeah, if we could do that, you know, they say like, well, if he played 99 times out of 100, I mean, he's going to win 100 times over Antoine Jameson. Without Butler, without Arenas, there is no chance in this series. Actually, they've made it pretty close, but I see them having zero shot.
This will be such a disaster if Cleveland can't pull it out, too, because we're just going to hear that much more of, is LeBron a big game player or not?
I understand the Wizards haven't even sold out their 2 home playoff games because if you live in D.C. or in the surrounding Virginia, Maryland area, why would you drop coin on a playoff game where you don't expect your team to win, they don't have the superstars to entertain you, and even if they win one of these two, it's going to be over in 5.
Especially when you can go watch the Nationals.
That's right.
Well, or give Dan Snyder some money for those Redskins tickets.
Yeah, I think they're on Washington Post Radio. A newspaper has a radio station, and the Nats are on that. So that shows you how good Washington, D.C. sports is going right now.
One thing to watch for, killer instinct by the Cavs. Both games in Cleveland were close enough, much like Orlando stuck with Detroit both games in Detroit. But you saw last night, they went to Orlando, and you would assume, oh, if the Magic can stay close on the road, they can win a home game. Detroit came in, veteran team, been here, done that, dropped the hammer, went up 3-0. If Cleveland does the same thing, it tells me they're prepared to take that next step. If they go in there tonight and lose, it shows that they still don't have a champion-type swagger.
You want to talk about a veteran team that's been to the finals a couple times, look at the New Jersey Nets versus the Toronto Raptors series. That game a little more interesting, kind of polar opposites of the way they played, more a half-court offense for Toronto and a fast-break team with the Nets. That's 1-1. The Raptors scared me in game one. That's my Eastern Conference final pick along with the Bulls. But, yeah, what'd you guys think of that series so far? It's basically been the veterans getting it done and the superstars getting it done. No real surprises here.
They're just young. I mean, you know, Toronto's just a young team. A lot of pressure starting off at home because the minute they lost game one against a team that knew game one was their chance to steal, even more pressure in game two. But they held them off. Now you go to New Jersey. They don't have a lot of pressure on them. Now all they have to do is find a way to get one game, get the home court back, and every game that goes by, they become more experienced.
Yeah, I think you just got to file them in the year away category,
yeah,
along with Orlando and, you know, Cleveland and a lot of those teams.
And ESPN definitely showing you what they are. They're putting them on the deuce, too.
Rumor has it Kidd might not play tonight, sore knee, but I'm still betting he's out there.
I think he makes it out there. And, yeah, we look at the final matchup in the East. My Eastern Conference champion, the Chicago Bulls, I'm saying that right now. Actually, I've been saying that for quite a while. No surprise to me they're up 2-0. No surprise at all. 33-10 in the second half. I mean, for home games, they played very well in the second half, except that one game they lost at the end of the year. They got the depth. They have matchup problems all around, and Dwayne Wade is not Dwayne Wade.
I thought 33-10 was going to be Lou Alding's numbers from one of the games. You're talking about their home record, but they're good. I mean, you've been saying Chicago in the finals, so maybe if Oprah will let you share her front row seats, they make it there. You might get a flight to Chicago, and you can go talk about The Secret on her show or something like that. But
wow.
They're looking good, but Miami's not going to get swept.
I'm a Tyra Banks fan, by the way. That's just me. That's how I roll.
Good luck with that.
Interesting.
Well, I meant the show. Come on.
That's even
sure
worse.
You did.
All right. Come on. Let's stay on topic here. So what do you guys think? This is a sweep?
No.
Miami gets a steal. The Shaq, the Diesel starts getting something going?
Champs aren't getting swept. Miami will win tonight. The real money gets made in game four. Will Chicago jump them, go up 3-1 and get this over quick, or will Miami tie it up 4-4 and make this a 7-game series?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the way things are going to look here. So we'll come back. We have the West, and the West is, as we all know, where it's all going to come from. We'll definitely.
Wasaid?
Okay. No. You're going to get a pterodactyl, though. Right before we go to the NBA draft, we're going to tease a pterodactyl. Owen and I think are the only people that have ever heard the pterodactyl, unless it was at the KSFS party last night. I don't know if you dropped the pterodactyl or not.
No, I didn't.
But yeah, we'll come back. We'll hit up Lakers, Suns, Nuggets, Spurs. We'll spend some extended time on that as our Spurs segment hosted by Antonio Kruger is currently unsponsored. So anybody wants to jump on that
Brought to you by Wrangler.
Wrangler jeans, real American jeans. There you go. And we'll also hit up Jazz Rockets and, of course, our NFL draft in the second hour.
It's a big hour, too. You know, I've been all week, I haven't been feeling really good, and I just realized I got a case of the draft fever.
Oh, there you go.
And thank you for the binder that you brought in. We're going to review all this during commercial break.
I thought that was a phone book for the campus, but no, that is just round one knowledge of the draft. But we have all that coming up next on Sports Outside the Mainstream on KSFS. Who do you think you are? Bless your soul.
Oh, baby. That's rocking.
For all of you that like to rock out with your socks out, do it while listening to KSFS The State on ksfs.sfsu.edu.
Yeah, I wrote that. It's called I Want to Rock Your Body. And then in parentheses, it says, to the break of dawn.
That's beautiful. It's like poetry.
I want to rock your body, baby.
Easy, big boy.
Hey!
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, come one, come all, see the fantabulous, the spectacular, the Stepdad and Beaver Show. See the obnoxious. See why they are crazy.
Can you bring some cocaine?
Coming live at you Mondays at 12 to 2 in the afternoon on KSF.
FS 100.7 KSFFFS.
And we're back on KSFS The State here. This is Sports Outside the Mainstream. Eamon Sweeney here with Antonio Kruger and Brian Peacock. Owen is once again looking for some housing in the Santa Barbara area for his summer work with retarded dolphins. I don't know what he's doing. What is his work down there?
I think he just went down there to play some ball because, you know, his game is very similar to Antoine Walker from what I understand.
Yes. He shoots threes because they ain't no foes. Mm-hmm. That's as I recall. That's the worst Antoine impersonation ever, by the way. I will stop
That's
that from now on.
You and your impersonations,
period.
Man.
I know. They don't work. My Jeff Garcia, as Owen calls it, but that's my natural speaking voice, so I'm offended by that. But, yes, I think the first thing we should hit on is this studio is about 9,000 degrees, and this whole building in general is quite out of whack, as they say.
It's a bomb shelter.
It's a bomb shelter.
It's lead-filled walls, man.
It is. So we can't get cell phone reception, or we can't get a decent heating duct in here or something like that. Because
It is a bit warm.
What'd you call it, sweltering earlier?
Yeah, a little sweltering. I mean, it's spring. You never know what you're going to get anywhere, I guess, in the country during springtime, and we've definitely got a very beautiful day in San Francisco, and the heat obviously can come in here, but it doesn't know how to get back out.
Yeah, that's right. That's just poor design structure overall. But, yeah, this is actually the first day we've had nice weather in about 2 or 3 weeks, right? It's usually foggy and overcast. We started off good. Now we're back in, and maybe the baseball gods and the basketball gods of the Bay Area are shining down upon us.
It's a great time to be living in the Bay Area, especially if you're a sports fan, or particularly if you're a sports fan. And we were talking earlier, it's like 1994 all over again with Warriors in the playoffs and Sharks in the second round of the playoffs. The Niners that year were going into a Super Bowl champion, so hopefully my guys are getting back good. And the Raiders weren't here yet playing football, but that's pretty much the equivalent of the last year anyway. So
yeah.
It really is like 13 years ago has just come back to life.
And on that note, we'll talk about where the Raiders were. And they were in L.A., and L.A. was playing the Suns. So I know, that was an awful segue.
Wow,
come
man,
on. You can, but give me some credit. It's like 900 degrees.
2 plus 2 equals 4.
You only fail if you don't try.
That's right. Do or do not, there is no try. Yoda said that. And I just...
Speaking of Yoda and Zen, so Phil...
Oh,
you want to
go into a segue off? Because I'm here all day. I'm here till 3. We can go.
All right, I'll judge this one.
All right, no, we're not.
0-0.
We go with Phoenix in the Valley of the Sun, where it's so hot. It's Los Angeles against Phoenix. It is currently 2-1. Kobe dropped 45 yesterday as Phoenix kind of slowed down there in the second half, and Lakers were able to catch up and get a victory.
What happened? I mean, I'm sitting
what
there.
What happened?
I'm at home, and I'm thinking, okay, I picked Suns in 5, so if the Lakers are going to win that one, this is going to be it, you know. And the Suns come out, drop 11-0 on them. Running, dunking, shooting. I mean, as I believe I read in the paper, their first few shots didn't even touch rim, just all net. L.A. crowd is quiet. They certainly weren't listening to the Giants-Dodger game. And I don't know how they went from that in a 33-point or whatever it was first quarter to finishing the game with 89 points. I mean, that's what makes Phoenix such – it's why I don't believe they're going to win the title. It's why I believe, even with being unbiased – why San Antonio would beat them in the second round. They have these moments where they will drop 15-0 runs on you, but they also have moments where they don't score because as a shooting team, no matter how great a shooter you are, not every shot goes in, and during those types of runs, they still don't play great defense, so you can always get back in the game, and if you can control the pace, you will beat them. The Lakers really should have found a way to win game one, and certainly last night, out of desperation, were able to win game three.
And you have been pretty anti-Phoenix all season, so... This isn't a new thing for you.
Yeah, this is now a trend. This is not happenstance.
Which is okay, because you stuck to your guns, and it looks like you're pretty right. They can be amazing and run you out of the gym, and they can be pretty mediocre. But yeah, you talked about the pace, and that's the thing I noticed. It looked like they were just running a practice against some taxi team or something.
The Globetrotters against the Generals,
yeah,
it looked like.
Yeah, they were going about 75%, it looked like.
Yeah.
Just kind of under control a little bit.
And when... For them, a chance to go up 3-0 would have been a sweep this
yep.
weekend. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be real. You would have then had an opportunity for them as a team that doesn't have great depth and plays at such a high pace to have rest before playing the Spurs-Nuggets winner. Now you have to win your game this weekend. Otherwise, it's 2-2, and they're still going to win the series. But every time you give away a playoff game, it's a two-game swing as far as the standings, if you will, of the particular round. And you're extending yourself. Every extra game you play, potential for injury, potential just for your guys to get worn out, as you advance round to round, that catches up with you. And if you're a great team who's in sort of a great 5-7 year run, it also adds up over the course of the years of extra games played. Phoenix gave one away last night. But if you're a Laker fan, you could say they gave, you know, you feel like you gave away one on Sunday in game one, and you could be up 2-1 now, just like you were last year. But it's a little bit different. Lakers have to play perfect to win, whereas the Suns don't need to. But last night, after starting off perfect, they just went away. And I have no idea how a team with all that offensive talent stopped scoring.
Yeah, it's one of the things, because I am the one of that guys that, you know, takes notes during the game, because, you know, I have to sit there with my legal pad and take notes. But one thing I did notice was the Suns in game one weren't running their offense. When it got down to the end, it was Barbosa, Barbosa, Barbosa. That was all they did. And I said that kind of worries me if I'm a Suns fan, that he's the guy making all the plays and he's the guy making all the shots and they're not running their offense. Of course, that didn't hold true to game two. They ran their offense pretty dang well. Was it to the tune of 126 points? So that went well.
They ran L.A. into the ground in game two. That was embarrassing.
Thanks for an entertaining game, guys. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that, too. That was a blowout in the second quarter already. And yesterday, once again, 20 points for Barbosa. Nobody really up there with him stat-wise. So I wonder, well, actually, Stoudemire at 24, but with Barbosa, they weren't running their offense. They were running through him. That's going to be a problem. They have to run their offense the way they've been doing it all year, which is get up and down the floor where anybody could have 20 or 30 points, not just one guy right now.
Yeah, this is not working out too well for them at the moment. Fortunately, they're playing a team that's struggling and only has one great player.
And everybody seems to hate that great player, and it seems like it's even his own teammates that aren't too fond of him.
But
that can't be a good situation.
It's the case where when everybody was injured, when Odom was injured, when everybody was out, they said, Kobe, you need to score. We need to get you 50 every night. And they did that, and they won. All of a sudden, Odom comes back. They start getting healthy. Hey, we need to pass the ball. And he says, what about last time? You need me to score. Now you need me to pass. Now I can't even, you know, pass to these guys. I don't make any shots. Now it's all up to him. He can win one game, as I said. I said this would be a 5-gamer, and I said Kobe would win one game. To prove me right, I hope they lose, but Kobe's really going to have to take this team just on his shoulders and just drop another 45-50.
And how about dropping the thing saying, I don't remember what the exact quote was, but saying basically how his team's not very good?
Yeah. I mean, they bait him into questions every single night saying, do you feel like you have to do it all on your own? And he's like, no. You know, but once in a while, he's going to just break and say, wow, these guys suck. I mean, come on. This guy went to Rhode Island.
Well, I mean, he's not all that far off. His team, this Laker team, is not great. They weren't playing well coming into the playoffs. And last night they won because of how well he played scoring without hogging the ball and because Kwame Brown actually appeared in the third quarter. By the same token, it shouldn't have mattered. The Lakers finished with their 95 points or whatever. The Suns should have been over 100. So it should not have mattered. But, you know, remember this time last year? It was about Black Mamba and, you know, Kobe the Mamba and, you know, taking the series by the throat and just Lakers up 3-1. And now he's got a different jersey number. He doesn't have the nickname. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't strike fear into people because of what's around him. I read Mike D'Antoni's quote where he said the 45 by Kobe, you know, we didn't care about that. The problem was Kwame Brown's 19. People are saying, go ahead, Kobe, 40, 45, 50, whatever it takes. We can still hold you guys to under 90 points with you scoring over half your team's points, and we'll still win. So at the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah.
So he needs help. And I'm a little surprised. Radmanovic came back before the regular season ended, and he was playing. And I don't believe he's played in the series. Now, maybe Phil just thinks he's not up to speed, but they need his three-point shooting. They need him to help the spacing on the court.
They need to stretch the defense. I mean,
exactly.
They need to move. They need to spread the floor.
And he did very well against the Suns last year when he was a member of the Clippers in the second round. So maybe there's, you know, Phil has his own reasons for why he's not out there.
We saw that series. We got the next game. What is that, Sunday? Or is that?
Oh, it's
got
to be Sunday.
I think it's Saturday. Yeah, I think
it's got to be Sunday.
Yeah.
The NBA
really
wants
pays
the
to look
LA
this stuff
market
up, by the way.
To be on the Sunday ticket.
Can they drag these series out any longer?
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean,
the first series. Let's get some of these games out.
A 5-game series, you know how important that Warrior game would be tonight? Obviously, it's still important, but a 5-game series, they go up 2-1, yeah. But I kind of like the 7-game series because I don't like fluke teams get advancing. I mean, maybe that's just me, but that's probably just me.
No, you make a good point about the 2 days off between certain games.
Yeah.
Some of that obviously is for television. They don't want if a sweep happens, they don't want a series to be over in 6 days. On the flip side, I think I like to believe the NBA is coming from this place of if a team has a guy who's a little bit injured because they didn't have time to rest going into the playoffs, They want you to have a few extra days. So, again, the goal is to have the best teams win in advance, and I understand that. But you're right, as a fan, you do kind of get out of sorts with these large gaps.
Yeah, I don't like watching basketball in August.
No, there you go.
Well, a lot of people do. That's just your opinion. As we brought up at the top of the hour, you like to discriminate, do you not?
I do.
That's right.
And you know what? Kobe might be number one on my list. I always seem to bag on him on this show, and I usually don't go around bagging Kobe all the time, but when he comes up, I just realize how much I don't like him when I listen to myself talk.
We need Kanye West in here. Brian Peacock doesn't care about Kobe Bryant. We'll edit that, too. So we have the other game, Utah and Houston. I've been kind of interested in this game. I said Yao Ming, it would be a Yao Ming-Boozer battle. So far, it has been. T-Mac has shown up. He said he's going to take over this game. He doesn't want anybody calling him, doesn't want anybody bothering him. He's moving on to the second round. He said so. Guys, have watched any of this game? I've watched. I just watched the first game.
I haven't seen a lot of this series.
Yeah, according to the ratings, nobody has. So
really,
well, they've had him on NBA TV last night, so that tells you where the NBA puts them in the pecking order of importance. But I saw all of Game One, pretty much. A little bit of Game Two, very little of the second half last night. Again, a team with Yao and McGrady scores 67 points, and for the first time in NBA playoff history, including non-shot clock era. Only four players on the entire team scored. How does no one else drop a jump shot or a tip-in or something like that? And what this tells me, and as a Spurs fan, I'm a little sensitive about this, there are people that say, oh, you don't want the Spurs in the finals. You know, you want great teams at, like, the Suns who are entertaining. You want people like the Lakers because of Kobe. And I've even heard people say Houston because of Yao and McGrady. Well, Houston, other than Yao and McGrady, what do they have? Do they have anybody who gets you excited? Do they have any great players? No, they don't. They actually score fewer points than San Antonio does, and they play at a slower pace, which then leaves them during close games with McGrady going one-on-one all the time. 67 points last night. I know Utah is a tough place to play, and I'm not surprised that they won down 2-0, but how do you only score 67 points? God forbid Houston should get to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I heard that only four players on the team scored, and I was that's just unbelievable. For an NBA team, only four players scored.
Yeah,
it gives you an idea how they run their offense and how their team goes.
Nothing from Uther Head, nothing from Dikembe Mutombo, Chuck Hayes, anybody. They did not get anything from those guys.
Just dump it into Yao, and McGrady goes one-on-one, and they keep it slow, and they play excellent defense. But if there are people that think the Spurs are a little boring, the Rockets are extremely boring. You know,
is this who the Mavs-Warriors play, winner of this series?
That's right. And so, I still expect this to go seven, so they're going to play a tuckered-out team. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's it for the NBA, I guess. Is that anything? We're all good now?
Oh, yeah, you're hilarious.
Yeah. So we're done? We're ready to move on to the NFL draft?
I got one more thing for the NBA.
What is that?
Warriors, they're going to get past the Mavs. I'm going on record here. I'm going out on a limb. Warriors, they are going to get past the Mavs, and they're going to get past whoever they play in the second round, but the Spurs is where that's where it ends.
Speaking of the Spurs, excellent.
Oh, come on. All right.
That was horrible. Practice fastball for Antonio.
No, that's it. We can't hear you.
I'll say it for him.
We need our Pussycat Dolls under the theme song underneath.
There's only one way to play basketball, and it's the way the Spurs play.
Wow.
There you go. There you man go. Who appreciates
I'm paraphrasing what he was going
to
say.
You can talk about the Spurs till this song ends. How about that? Owen told me to put limitations on what you're saying.
I have no need to ramble on about them. First round, two games are in, no big deal. I myself was very upset with the way they played on Sunday because they played very lethargic, like a team that hadn't played their starters in a week, but also like a team that wasn't ready to play a playoff game. And again, they're a team that gave away a game they should not have given away. Now they find themselves, instead of up 2-0, 1-1 with Denver believing in themselves. And you don't want a young team believing that they can win because they play so much more free and loose, which they were able to do at the end of game two when they were actually down double digits because they knew they had nothing to lose. They were supposed to lose the game anyway. I'm ticked at them about that. With all that said, 2003-2005, they opened each first round with a home loss to an 8-7 seed respectively, came back to win those series, came back to win the championship. I expect to see the same thing this year. There's something about them losing the first game in the first round that gets them ticked, kind of like that Yankee statistic where if they lose game one in the first round, they come back and win the series, but if they win game one, they don't win again. I don't know why that is. So I expect San Antonio to go to Denver this weekend, certainly and get one, and I would expect that one to be tomorrow. The great thing is if they get tomorrow, so much pressure now. All of a sudden, Denver has to take themselves a lot more seriously. I think San Antonio takes both.
As a Spurs fan, we'll give you this last question. If you're a Spurs fan, which you are, who would you want them to stop, Iverson or Carmelo? Who's the most important guy for them to stop? Because we saw in game one, if you don't stop any of them, that's going to happen. Who do you want to stop for them?
Carmelo, because AI is going to get his no matter what. He's a lot more difficult to guard because he is a guard. He's extremely quick. He can get around the corner on you, but he can hit jumpers. So as far as I'm concerned, you have a better chance of stopping Carmelo. You can also double him a lot easier, and he's more likely to get frustrated, whereas AI can get himself to the free throw line. And as he showed in Philadelphia, he can drop 35 or 40 on you and still not win.
Because he didn't have that second guy, which Carmelo is. So you want to stop Carmelo, take that away, and then basically bring him back to the guy he was in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so I would actually keep the real defensive player of the year, Bruce Bowen, on Melo.
There you go. Okay, when we come back, we just wrapped up the NBA playoffs, and we all have our predictions from our previous show, which you can listen on our website, sotm.podomatic.com. So you can listen to all of our shows and all of Brian's great. Have you got a prediction wrong yet this year?
I'm not touching that.
You're not touching that.
Well, he just said the Western Conference is going to be Spurs versus Warriors, with Spurs moving on. Do you want to tell us who your Eastern Conference? Because you weren't here last week.
West Coast bias.
Doesn't even matter.
East doesn't even exist to me.
Boom.
All right, so we're done with the playoffs for today. We'll bring them back next week when everything is more shaken loose there. But right when we come back, we're going to talk about the MLB. We'll talk about A's, Giants, and Red Sox. I don't know why we have to talk about the Red Sox, but...
Can you grab a broom, please? It's a little dirty in here.
Oh, God. You want to talk about bad segues and bad puns and everything?
Kruger
is the leader in the clubhouse right now.
Do we have one?
No. We need an air conditioning, though, so if you can go out in the hall and grab one, we'll be sure to not let the door slam behind you. So we'll be right back on KSFS Estate. This is Sports Outside the Mainstream, and we'll be right back.
This is the ancient sound of Japan. And this is what today's Japanese music sounds like. Area's only source for today's best Japanese music, Samurai Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse from Rise in Japan. You are listening to Samurai Radio from San Francisco.
Hey, what's up? This is Howie of Nikitin from Chiba, Japan.
Hi, this is Okawa.
And Hiroshi Buster.
From Rule Bone.
Hi, this is Kumi.
This is Naoki.
From Love Psychedelico.
This is the Idol.
Hi, this is Fumio from Kimori. Samurai Radio rocks.
Samurai Radio on 88.1 FM, San Francisco.
And we are back here on KSFS Estate, San Francisco State University radio here. Eamon Sweeney, Antonio Kruger, Brian Peacock. Next hour, we have draft. If Brian's up to it, we have the pterodactyl coming in.
Yes.
And he will be in flight around the studios, which is a pretty, you know, enclosed area, so maybe a little tough for him.
But are you going to bring somebody in here to help you perform it all out? Or
No, there is...
We have a trained professional with that works in the cage with the gloves and everything with the pterodactyl, so...
Usually also, if you're listening online, always have Urban Dictionary open so you can catch all our references. It's a companion to our show is Urban Dictionary. But yeah, quickly, baseball. We're going to wrap it up fairly quick. So let's start with Ant and his beloved Giants. Of course, Brian's beloved Giants, but let's see how you guys thought. Keep in mind, you were pessimistic just like everybody else in here about what they were going to do.
I got to show you my button first. I was there button.
I was there, but
yeah,
you know what?
On Sunday, I got a little sunburn. Saw Barry hit one. Kane pitched a masterpiece.
I saw Barry hit one. I neglected to pick up my button, though.
What? I think you still can.
I don't want to.
Bitter. Bitter pill.
I don't want to.
You listen to Alanis Morissette on repeat.
But, you know, usually what happens is I get the button, you know, early on, and then like 10 years later, it becomes gigantic. I don't know what happened with that.
Well.
That's a steroid joke.
It
was fairly bad.
We're going to run that over like Caltrans, okay?
Okay.
Listen.
I have my orange vest on.
I make no apologies. The Giants, the first week and a half of the season, they weren't just losing. They were ugly. They were boring. And there's nothing worse than having a boring team that's old and you feel like it has no room for growth. All of a sudden, they're winning. And they're doing it the way that we said when we did our MLB predictions that they were going to have to. Pitching and defense. We know that, you know, Vizquel can play. Randy Winn at least is showing speed out in right field. Roberts is, you know, very excellent in center. But where did Ray Durham get range? I mean, he hasn't had it these last few years, and all of a sudden he's making stops.
He got it at the Balco offices, just if you're wondering.
Ah, boy, bitter.
Bitter.
You know, we called last week Pessimist Patty. We're going to keep that on you.
1920s reference for your out.
Then, you know, Molina, clutch hit after clutch base hit. Barry's obviously playing very well and is fine. So everything's clicking, but it still comes back to pitching, and I really do think that credit needs to start off with Bruce Bochy. I think he is an improvement over Felipe Alou. The guys like playing for him. He knows what he's doing. So it's not just that they're pitching and all these things. I think the credit has to start there.
I think Bochy deserves a lot of credit, and he's such a big improvement on Felipe. Felipe, I did not like at all. I like him as a person. As a coach, it was tough to watch. And you see it in the confidence, and you hear all these little quotes from pitchers that – they're like, I can't believe this guy left me in, and it gives me so much confidence, and I love it. And it's such a positive vibe, and it looks like they have a little, you know, they got a little extra spring in their step, the Giants do. All the way up and down the lineup, these old guys are showing up to work, and they're liking what they're doing. Bonds, Durham, both healthy, both looking better than they have in two seasons.
And speaking of flashbacks, Aurelia's playing like it's 2002, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Giants fan, doesn't it feel great, A, to not have your manager making five trips per inning to take pitchers in and out?
Yeah.
And number two, you know, when Barry hits a home run, it's fun. But if he hits one and they lose 7-3, it doesn't mean a whole bunch. It's actually nice to watch when you know that Zito is starting. That's a fun game to listen to. Kane's pitching, fun game to listen to. I enjoy watching Lowry pitch because he often throws gems. You have, you know, Matt Morris is sort of the guy of can he do better than last year. And Russ Ortiz is an excellent story. So they actually have reasons to make you want to watch. And as a Giants fan, isn't this fun?
Yeah, it is fun. It's fun when they're winning. It was so painful to watch them. I would turn the channel when they were batting and just go back to when they were pitching, which is usually not how fans watch the game. Usually fans love offense. But I would only watch them when they were on defense because, you know, watch Vizquel do his thing, watch Matt Cain overpower guys that are 10, 15 years older than him. It's fun to watch. And, hey, Timmy Franchise Lincecum. It's getting close. It's getting close to arrival time.
Yeah. Has he given up a run yet in the minor leagues?
No. He threw a 6 2/3 inning no-hitter the other day.
That is a straight fastball. I've said it before. That thing is hittable by major league hitters.
And he's got some control issues, so he might give up that, you know, walk two guys, 3-run home.
A little Rick Vaughn action, maybe.
Yeah. You better hope that there is not another life after this one, because you're going to come back as Barry's personal masseuse.
Yeah.
And that's going to be your job. You're just a
Zito,
Giants
Zito's,
hater.
Oh, I like Zito. I have no problem with Zito.
Yeah,
I have a former A. Yeah, I have a problem with Bonds. I think so. I think anybody else who doesn't has got some serious mental issues behind them, or they have some abandonment, you know, something.
What's wrong with Barry? I mean, the man is 43 now, going on 44.
It's easy to say what's right with Barry. He's a good player.
If he is on steroids right now, then he's either incredibly dumb and the system is very broken, But if he's not on anything, then explain to me why don't appreciate a 44-year-old man going out there doing what he's doing, showing that for all his faults as a person and a personality, the man always has been able to and apparently always will be able to hit.
Yes. I will ask our resident draft expert, is there a test right now in the league, for any league, for human growth hormone?
Not to my knowledge.
And isn't that a possibility that Barry Bonds may be taking this set growth, human growth hormone?
As much possibility as everyone else that he plays with and against.
I don't think it's that likely that he's still taking it, but I think the after effects of him taking it a few years ago, he grew. So he's bigger now, and he will be bigger. So that's the effect that gives you. And he doesn't have to be taking that now for the effect to still be there.
Yeah, I do not have a problem with him as a player. I think he's a very good player. I just think he cheated. And he cheated to break, the most important records in all of baseball. And he's been a jerk about it when people ask him serious questions about things that are pretty obvious to any person that can look at even cleat size to hat size ranging in the last 5 years.
He is a jerk, and I think it's one of the reasons he's playing so well is that as much as people don't want him to break this record and get on his case, he feeds off that negativity. And it's one of the reasons he's hitting well over 300. He's knocking balls out of the park, including center field at Dodger Stadium the other night. And now you have a Giants team with 8 wins in a row, and you look at the weekend set, and you got Zito and Kane going, and you can't help but feel it's going to hit 9 and 10 because that's who they are. And so it's nice that he's not the story locally, even though nationally when the Giants play, what SportsCenter cares about is what did Barry do.
Yeah, and if he's feeding off negativity, he's never going to go hungry again, as they say. But when you just have Hank Aaron not wanting to show up, when you have Bud Selig not wanting to show up, when everybody was there for McGuire and Sosa and nobody's there for Bonds, that shows you something about what kind of guy this is.
I'm sorry. I don't take Selig seriously, so him saying he's not going to show up means nothing to me. In terms of Hank Aaron, that's the man's prerogative. I wasn't alive in that era when he played. I will say that my dad explained to me that Hank's always been that way, whereas Willie Mays was always nice to everyone and had a great deal of personality. Hank has always been a little bit of little bit less personality, a little bit more of it's all about him. So maybe that's just Hank being Hank.
Yeah, that could be true as well. We'll quickly hit on the A's since this is a Giants biased on the other side of the table here.
How about this for a Giants A's segue? How are you going to feel next year when Barry's DHing for the A's chasing 800?
800? Chasing 800. That just sounds ridiculous. A's not playing that well right now. They got Tampa in town. And, of course, they don't get to face, the three guys at the back end of the rotation. They're going to have to see Kazmir at least once. A's need to get a couple wins here. I think combined yesterday, 39 people left on base for both teams. So that was just a gem to watch right there, not being able to get anybody home. Lack of offense, injuries to Swisher and Harden and Milton Bradley do not help. So the A's will either need to call somebody up, which they've already done a lot of, or they will need to wait till everybody gets healthy. Either way, their offense is just really bad right now, as you Giants fans can attest to about how bad your offense was to start the year.
Now, I already know what the answer would be for tonight. So as an A's fan, I'll ask you about Sunday, because it's an afternoon game. Will there be more people?
Afternoon delight, we like to call it.
There you go. Will there be more people in the stands to watch the A's Sunday afternoon or an Oracle to watch the Warriors Sunday night?
That's a good question. I would have to check the promotions, though, because it may be, if I'm not mistaken, maybe next week or the week after that, it may be a Chavez bobblehead. So we may get more tickets sold, but the attendance will be nowhere near. There'll be more people walking through the parking lot on either side than it'll be at the A's game.
There'll be more people at Radio City Music Hall for the second day of the draft.
That's correct.
Wow, yeah.
That, in Oakland.
Because tonight we know there will be more for a Friday night game, and they're going on at the same time. There will definitely be more in Oracle than there will be at the Coliseum.
And lastly, we'll hit on the Red Sox because the Red Sox hit on the Yankees since they just managed to beat on them, including 4 home runs in a row. Guys, any thoughts on that series?
But the Yankees sweep of the Red Sox starts today. So.
Oh, yes, it does.
Ooh,
in earnest.
The phone is going to ring in just a second.
Owen
probably just like drove off the road there for a second.
I hope Owen's listening. Maybe he's got his headphones on while he's balling up. He's got Antoine Walker style.
That'd be nice to have the yellow Walkman out and the sports goggles with the high socks, and he's just listening and just bricking shots off the side saying, that was a foul, that was a foul. But no, I think, that's all we need to know.
Well, it's, the week of brooms, and it comes down. Red Sox swept the Yankees last weekend. Owen was in a drunken, blithering fury of happiness Sunday night when they hit the 4 home runs in a row.
And then he watched the game.
Hey, do you think Owen paints his sock red before he goes out on the court?
Oh, there you go. I mean, I think that's a good enough segue right here. We have to change our socks because they're all red right now, so, and we have to come back with draft and stuff. But, yeah, I think he paints his sock in just to be like his boy Kurt and reads his blog every day. If I had some Gary Thorne, I'd play it right now because I just loved when he just called that a hoax, and Doug Mirabelli's trying to backtrack on him now a little bit. But, yeah, the red sock of Kurt Schilling may have been paint. I don't know what your guys' immediate thoughts on that.
I'm not buying that it was paint.
You thought it was blood?
I think it was blood, but I just...
Blood that did not move, did not grow any larger or smaller?
I have ammo for Owen. That's all I care about.
That's all you care about.
Right.
All right, we will be back because the much anticipated draft show is here.
Must listen radio.
It is must listen radio. It is must download radio. It is must everything radio.
And I hope Owen's listening because during this break here, I have a very, very special song for him.
Oh, he's got a song for you. We'll take a request. We're now, you know, it's now 2:04, 4 minutes past the hour. And Brian's got a special request out there to one Owen in Santa Barbara. He writes. No, I'm just kidding.
For once, a good impression.
That was your best impression of all
thank
time.
You,
you
thank you.
Stick to that.
Well, all right, that's... You know, this is not why I got into radio. I'm just going to say that right now. I did not take this to be offended. But yeah, we'll be back with draft coverage that'll knock your red socks off, whether they're painted or full of blood or not. But we'll be right back here on KSFS The State. This is Sports Outside the Mainstream. I'm Eamon Sweeney. That's Antonio Kruger. And that is Brian Peacock. And we will return momentarily.
Forgotten as long as my